Unleavened Bread Ministries presents Hidden Manna for the End Time with your host, David Eales.
Hello, friends. This is David Eales. God bless you and thank you for joining us. We have some very important revelations to share with you that were shared with me over the last 30-something years, sometimes in word of knowledge or word of wisdom. They are very, I'll say, untraditional, but you should expect that in these days. The traditions of men have been making of no effect the Word of God. And these revelations will help you to cooperate with God in the time to come in manifesting His Son in you and in understanding the things that are going on around you and the great purpose that God has for these end times. May God give you eyes to see and ears to hear, so that these will be a great blessing unto you. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You may hear some things here that are not fitting with your traditions. God bless you.
Part 24, The Beast Covenant and Image.
The traditional EU beast theory is just dead wrong. This is very common. I've been saying for 20 years that was totally wrong because the Lord showed me otherwise. In Daniel 2 and 41, and whereas thou sawest the feet and the 10 toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, it shall be a divided kingdom. And whereas thou sawest that the iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Wow. So Rome mixed with the seed of men. It didn't stay like it was. Okay. But they shall not cleave one to another. Now see what they're trying to do when they make the EU, the beast kingdom, is that they're trying to put Rome back in its original geographic position, all cleaving to itself as one nation. But Daniel said that's not to be. It is not going to cleave one to another. It's going to be separated by the clay. And the clay, of course, is not iron. The clay represents nations that were never part of the original Roman Empire. Okay? But now the clay is included. Other nations are included. But the clay separates the iron. If you take the languages of the original Roman Empire, the different languages that were in the original Roman Empire, and follow them through history from that time to this, you follow those languages, you know where they go? All over the globe. The original Roman Empire is now separated by the clay, and it's all over the globe, everywhere. It's not contained within the European Union. And never was, because the European Union doesn't make up all the nations that were in, and it has nations that were not in the Roman Empire. The European Union is mostly Western Roman Empire, but the Eastern Roman Empire went up through the East Bloc nations. A lot of East Bloc nations were in the Eastern Roman Empire. So, the EU doesn't fit any way you try to make it fit. I remember when it went past 10 nations, into 12 and 13, and then people had to start changing their theology. They thought it was the 10 kings, and when it went to 12 and 13, they said, well, there's 13, and then we're going to lose 3 heads. But it doesn't say that. The Bible says there were 10, and it loses 3 heads. See? And then it went past that. So people are very confused. But the truth is, it has nothing to do with what we're talking about. It's just a part of the end time beast. Okay? The whole earth is in the body of the last United Nations beast. The whole earth. Daniel 7 and 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be different from all the kingdoms. Why is it different? Because now we're talking about a corporate kingdom instead of an individual kingdom. This kingdom has all 7 individual kingdoms in it. Okay? Which shall be different from all the kingdoms, the corporate kingdom. And shall devour the whole earth. What does that tell you? The whole earth is inside the body of this last beast. It shall devour the whole earth. Now people think that the beast is going to devour by war the whole earth. That's not true. What beast is on the earth today that has already devoured the whole earth, and it wasn't by war? The United Nations. It's already devoured the whole earth. Is there going to be wars? Yes, many wars. There's going to be a civil war that is going to be the first real world war the world has ever had. You know, we've never really had a world war. But when you have an individual kingdom and they have a civil war, that's pretty bad. But when you have a corporate kingdom that covers the earth and you have a civil war, that's real bad. So this last kingdom devours the whole earth. Now we're talking about a big beast. All of fallen mankind is in the image of this beast. All of fallen mankind. Why do I say that? Because just as all resurrected, born again mankind is in the image of Christ, so all of fallen mankind is in the image of the beast. In Daniel 3:1, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold. He made an image of the vision that he saw. This image is the image of the beast, whose height was 70 cubits. Now, if you're familiar with gematria, you know that the Jews used their letters to write their numbers. And if you turn their letters into numbers, you can add up the numbers in any word or any text. And if you add up the gematria in earth, it comes up to 60, 60. And the breadth thereof was 6. And 6 is the number of man, because man was created on the 6th day. Have you ever heard of the law of first mention? I've been following it for years to see if it's consistently right. And I found that it is right. The law of first man is first mentioned there, of course, in the 6th day. And when you find the law of first mention, it usually points out how he's going to be used in the rest of the scripture, you see. So 6 is man, 60 is earth. And he set it up in the plain of Dura. Dura means circle and dwelling. Circle and dwelling. And that sounds like the world, doesn't it? As a matter of fact, the word world, the gematria is 600. So now you got 660 and 6. Men who are in the world and earthly are of the fallen creation equals 666. The words in the world in John 1:9, the gematria is 666. Isn't that interesting? Everybody in the world is 666. The whole world lieth in the evil one. The whole world lieth in the evil one. Things are going to start fitting from here on out. In Revelation 13:18, we are told, here is wisdom. He that hath understanding, let him count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And we just saw who that man is. He's a corporate man. And his number is 666. One place we can find this is in Romans chapter 6. The 6th book in the New Testament is Romans. And the 6th chapter and the 6th verse tells us who the old man is. Knowing this, that our old man, tells us who the beast is, by the way. Our old man. Man is the 6th word in that verse. So we've got 4 sixes there, actually. Was crucified with him. The old man is the corporate body of all of those who are not born of God. You know, your flesh is not born of God, right? Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Your flesh is in unity with the world. It's the enemy of God, the Bible says. See? Everybody has flesh, Christians and non-Christians. But that old man is not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the body of those who are not born again represent this the number of man. Daniel 3:7. All the peoples, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image. Now we see that not only the United Nations beast covenant, but a United Nations religious covenant, a one world religion. See, they were all united, and then they were all united around religion. We're going to see that. Revelation 17:1. Compare these verses. The great harlot that sitteth upon many waters. And verse 3, I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet colored beast, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now the waters and the beast are the same. Watch, verse 15. The waters which thou sawest where the harlot sitteth are peoples, multitudes, and nations, and tongues. So she's sitting upon these waters, which are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues, and she's sitting on the seven-head, ten-horned beast. The words, where the harlot sitteth, the gematria for that is 666. Well, now we're identifying the peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues as 666. You see that? You know why people come up with this? First of all, they've made up their own gematria to and I think it's true, but to come up with 666 in the name Kissinger, in the Pope, and in Prince Charles, and dozens of others. How many people are the beast? All of them are. They're going to continue to find this, you know, because they're all involved. Now, you know, and you believe already that the woman in Revelation is not, the woman in Revelation 12, for instance, is not an individual. Right? How about the harlot? Do you believe that harlot's an individual? Nobody believes that, right? Now, the harlot is sitting upon a seven-head, ten-horned beast. Let's just say the harlot, okay, the harlot is a corporate body. But the seven-head, ten-horned beast is a man. Does that make sense? You got a corporate body sitting on the top of a man? That's a heavy load. No, you got a corporate body sitting on top of a corporate body. The beast is a corporate body. Some complain. They object. I've heard this objection, but there's a real simple explanation. Some complain that the beast could not be the whole earth because he is separated from the kings and their armies whose flesh is killed in Revelation 19, 17 through 21. You remember when the Lord comes back on his white horse and the sword of his mouth is going forth to destroy the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of captains? And it sounds very much like in Genesis chapter 6 where it talked about the flood. Destroying the flesh. Okay. Well, when the flesh was destroyed, what happens to the spirit? They say, well, look, you see, the beast was taken, chapter 19, verse 20, the beast was taken and cast alive into the lake of fire and brimstone. But it goes on to say, and the rest were killed with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which came forth out of his mouth, even the sword which came forth out of his mouth, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Okay, so you got the body being killed on the earth, but the spirit being cast into the lake of fire. That's common, isn't it? There's no discrepancy there. We have this in Daniel 7 and 1. Watch. It's 7:11. I beheld even until the beast was slain and its body destroyed, and it was given to be burned with fire. What you've got is the spirit, which is eternal, being thrown in the fire, and the body being destroyed on the earth. That's exactly what happens to the Christians on the other side. Remember, equals but opposites. The other side of the story is Christ's body dies on earth, but the spirit is taken to heaven. See, so the beast incorporates all mankind, but there are other entities in that beast. There is a false prophet that's a member of that body of that beast, you see. And the harlot is very much married to that beast. They are one body. There is no verse that calls the Antichrist or the beast an individual man. There's no verse in the Bible that says that. And just, people object, well, what about Antiochus Epiphanes? I'll get to that, okay? But I'm going to give you a little more foundation before we get there. While God's people are waiting for the sign of an individual beast to believe the tribulation is starting, a spirit from the abyss will have united all the world as his body in covenant. This is what's about to happen, you see. Jesus' covenant is the same way. A spirit from heaven has united all of the people of God in covenant. The beast covenant will be both secular and religious. Watch. I want to explain this before I go on. Because people say, well, yeah, but the beast... Isn't he the king of the north over in Daniel? Well, let me explain something to you. The seven-headed, ten-horned beast covenant will only last for 7 years. And the reason it only lasts for 7 years is because at the end of 7 years, there's a civil war in the midst of the beast that totally destroys it, breaks it apart. Okay? Why is that? Well, watch. In Revelation 16 and 16, it says, "And they gathered them together into the place which is called in the Hebrew Armageddon." Now, you remember Armageddon. God gathered all nations against Israel in Armageddon. Well, what happened there? Look in verse 19. It says, "And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And Babylon the great was remembered in the sight of God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath." This is the wrath of God at the end of the tribulation period. Okay? The great city was divided into three parts. The great city is Babylon. It tells us that three times in the book of Revelation. And Babylon, in its greatest sense, is the whole world, because if you remember, when the world was one at Babel, and the land was one, the continent was one, that God confounded the languages, he spread them out on the continent. In the days of Peleg, he broke up the continent, he spread the continent out. So actually, the whole world came from one place, Babylon. All came from Babel. So in the largest sense, there's more than one parable. We have a religious Babylon, we have a secular Babylon in America, and we have a world Babylon. And you have to look at the text to find out which. And what he's saying here is that the Battle of Armageddon, the world is going to be broken into three parts. Do you know what the three parts are? Well, if you're talking about the battle, you're talking about the kings of the north, king of the south, kings of the east. That's the three parts. And we have proof for that. In Zechariah 14:2, at the Battle of Armageddon, which is at the end of the tribulation period, it says, "For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem." Notice, they're still all one. There's no breakup here. I mean, the king of the north hasn't fought with the king of the south. The breakup hadn't happened yet. Watch. "I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue or remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city." So God doesn't even go to fight until half the city is taken and the remnant are threatened. He's not interested in defending Jerusalem. He's interested in defending the remnant, because they're the elect. Jerusalem is overwhelmingly pagan, like we talked about before. So all nations are coming against Jerusalem, and about the time they're becoming a threat to the remnant, then God goes forth and fights. Verse 3, "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle." How did God fight in the day of battle? The Bible tells us. It's a complete, perfect parallel. 2 Chronicles 20 and 15, "And he said, Hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Fear ye not, neither be dismayed, by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord's, but God's." So God is going to go forth and fight in the same way that he fought right here. What happened here? 2 Chronicles 20 and 22. "And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set liers in wait against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, that were come against Judah, and they were smitten." How did he do that? In verse 23, "For the children of Ammon," which just happens to be the king of the north, "and Moab," which happens to be east, "stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir," which was the king of the south, "utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy one another." Now that's how God fights in the day of battle. And this is how he's going to defend Israel. Because when they come as one, they're going to be divided into three, and they're going to be killing one another off, and they're going to leave Israel alone. This has happened already three times in history. See, God repeats history. Isn't it neat? So you see that the king of the north and the king of the south and the kings of the east, these wars are going to happen at the Battle of Armageddon, because God is defending Israel. So when you talk about Daniel chapter 8 and Daniel chapter 11 about these wars, guess what? He's literally speaking over there of Antiochus Epiphanes. That's already written in history. That already happened. Daniel chapter 8 and Daniel chapter 11 already happened. You can look in the book of Josephus. You can look in the book of Maccabees. He describes it completely. Antiochus Epiphanes was that king of Syria who broke away from the once Alexander the Great kingdom and attacked Israel and took Israel. When you talk about it, when something's fulfilled, first it's fulfilled literally. After that, it becomes a type. So if you start using it as a literal revelation of the end time Antichrist, you're going to miss it. Because you're dragging something that is a type and making it the letter, you see. Now, so this is the way God is going to defend Israel. And by the way, this is how the end is going to happen, exactly the same way. The king of the north is going to unite with the king of the east, and they're going to attack America, who is the king of the south. In the Battle of Armageddon, America's armies are going to be in the south. Not only that, America's below the 50th parallel, and the king of the north, Russia, is above the 50th parallel. It doesn't matter that we're on the opposite sides of the earth. We're talking about a global thing now. We're not just talking about a geographic thing now, you see. And guess what happened? Exactly what the Bible tells us happened back there is going to happen now. The king of the north, which is Russia, is going to be leading the king of the north, is going to unite with the kings of the east, and they're going to attack America. And when they're through doing that, they're going to have a war with one another. See? This is what happened right here in history. Gideon's war is exactly the same thing. The Midianites of the south, the Amalekites of the north, and the children of the east lay along the valley like locusts for multitude, and their camels were without number, and the sands which was upon the seashore for multitude. This is a great army. They came as one, and they were broken into three. All of them are the same. Came as one, broken into three. There was a king of the north, south, and east. In Judges 7 and 22, and they blew the 300 trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow. Isn't that neat how the Lord does that? So he's done it in history. We know what he's going to do again. So if you talk about these wars, they're going to be fulfilled. But they're not going to be fulfilled literally exactly like 8 and 11 is. That's a type. Okay. Now I want to talk about the covenant. The secular aspect of the 7-year dragon beast covenant. Why do I call it the dragon beast covenant? You'll know in a minute. As Christ has a corporate body with whom he has made covenant, so it is with Antichrist. This 7-year covenant will unite the world, including natural Israel. So Israel is involved, okay? But it's not what we're looking for. Everybody's been looking for the beast, whoever he is, to make a covenant with Israel. Well, now we know who he is. The UN is going to be the one to start this, okay? But it's not primarily with Israel. It's primarily with the whole world. Watch. It will unite the world, including natural Israel, in a 7-headed, 10-horned body. See, the Spirit is uniting the world in one body, like Christ, who is a Spirit, unites all of His people in one body. This is part of the covenant, and everybody's missing it. It's in the black and white. It's right on the surface. It's not even hidden. The World Constitution and Parliament Association, the WCPA, has envisioned this very thing. Their aim is to replace the current UN Constitution with the Constitution for the Federation of Earth. Any of y'all ever read that? It's very neat. I mean, I read it. It's awesome. If I didn't know what I know about the Bible, I would say this is what we need. It is a really democratic, a representative form of government. The most honest one I've ever read about. Because, for one thing, they don't give veto power or, what's the other term I'm thinking of, executive order power to anybody. So they're going to replace the UN Constitution with the Constitution for the Federation of Earth. It's a very neat, you ought to get it if you can. The Global Ratification and Elections Network is now working in all of the world. Most of the nations of the world, they have a very good representation, and they're working in all the world to ratify this Constitution, the Constitution for the Federation of Earth. They're using governments and non-governmental organizations to ratify it now, right now. 10 kingdoms. It's in there. I read it. It's 10 kingdoms. 10 kingdoms are to be made from 10 continental divisions of the whole earth. You want to know who the 10 kings are? It's the whole earth. In order to do away with national, ethnic, and religious boundaries for the sake of peace. All wars come from nationalism, ethnic divisions, or religious divisions. Okay? And if you change the way that nations are divided. You mix people in with one another so that they can't have these wars. They think. But they ain't thinking about a civil war. This will unite the seed of all seven previous heads of the whole earth. Hence, a seven-headed, ten-horned body for the spirit of the beast from the abyss. See, we would like to see Christ's body united, wouldn't we? Okay. Well, the world's got an idea to do that too, but it isn't the kind we're talking about. Okay. Under this constitution, the world parliament's decisions are supreme. Not any leadership over it, by the way. The world parliament's decisions are supreme and are to be implemented by the presidium, which has no veto power or executive order. With ultimate sovereignty, I quote from their document, with ultimate sovereignty residing in all the people who live on earth. It's a totally representative form of government. You understand? God's not going to condemn the world because they were ruled over by a beast and forced to do what they're doing. He's going to condemn the world because they're going to choose what they're doing. The presidium will ultimately be made up of 10 kings, as in Revelation 17 and 12 says. Where is this secular aspect of this covenant in Revelation? People have asked me this question. Where is it? I see it over in Daniel 9, 26 and 27. It says, and he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. But where is it in the book of Revelation? We'll watch. The Constitution for the Federation of Earth, Article 17, Section B, calls for implementing the World Constitution in stages. In other words, they're not going to do it all at one time. They're going to go through stages. Bring it to that, okay? Revelation declares this staged seven-year covenant of the many with the beast. Watch how simple it is. The first stage of the beast is the dragon for 3.5 years. Revelation 12 and 3, and there was seen another sign in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his heads 7 diadems or crowns. And the great dragon was cast down. You notice I'm skipping some verses here. You'll have to forgive me for that, but we'll never get through if I don't. And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, verse 14, and there was given to the woman 2 wings of the great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness unto her place where she is nourished for a time, times and a half a time from the face of the serpent, which is the dragon. So you got 3.5 years under the dragon. That's the first stage. However, the dragon had the crowns on his heads, not on his horns. And who are the heads? The heads are these different ethnic groups from the beginning. The 7 heads are Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, and Rome. According to Daniel, they're still with us. They're just with us in their seed, so they're much larger bodies, okay?
This series by David Eales will be continued on our next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. For more information and materials, go to www.americaslastdays.com.